You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
I want to welcome us this morning. Thank you so much for worshiping with us, and thank you for driving out and coming to just coming and spending a day with us out here at Camp South School. Once again, I want to say thank you so much to Peter and the whole team here at Camp South School for even allowing us to come and do this and be here. So could we just give him a hand? And if you're a guest with us and you do not know me, my name is Raphael, and I am privileged to be the lead pastor here at City Church, one of the pastors. And if you have your Bibles, would you open them to Psalm 128? So we are still going through our series called Household Blueprints. Household Blueprints. And what we're really looking at is it's just looking at, say, at Psalm 127 and 128, and looking at what does it look like to build with God. And so the first week we looked at Psalm 127 that says, without God, if you try to do it without God, it is all meaningless. So when it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. It's just basically like, even later on when you go to the Gospels, Jesus says that he is the true foundation by which we should actually build our lives on. And he says that if you build it on his words and everything that he has said, you're building on a rock instead of building on sand, right? Because the storms of life will come, and sometimes they will obviously sweep it away if it's not built on the rock. And so we looked at, like, unless you build a house, unless you build with God, unless you protect with God, unless you provide, unless God is the main provider of your house, all those things, you're going to be caught up in the cycle of the anxiety that comes with all that. And last week we looked at the fact that, like, God expands the home and he gives us children. Unless you raise them up in the ways of the Lord, he is the one who gives children a gift from God. He's the one who gives them, and then so we need to run back to him in order to actually get trained. And there's actually what God says. He says this, that children are a gift in the hands of a warrior. That's God already implying that you've got all that it takes if you depend on him to actually raise them as well. And so today we're looking at Psalm 120, 128. And what Psalm 128 does is that it helps us with all this, that, like, we're looking at building, protecting, providing, and raising our kids and our family. But, like, what is the fuel behind all that? What is the fuel? What is it that actually you need in order for you to actually get going and keep going and stay going? What is it that you need? And Psalm 128 is going to actually then begin to look at this one thing here. Look at verse 1. It says, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord? If you have your Bibles, if you can underline there, fears the Lord. That is the fuel to everything that, in order for you to keep building with God, keep going with God, you need to actually understand this one phrase here. Who walks in his ways, you will surely eat what your hands have labored, have worked for. You will be happy and it will go well with you. And so here what we're seeing is the psalmist, is the central idea, is that the psalmist declares God's blessedness to the person who reverences and obeys God. He says that this person is blessed. And if you can walk away with one thing today, it's going to be this. Our homes and our homes need to be furnished with the fear of the Lord to experience the fullness of life that God extends to us. Our homes need to be furnished. Our lives need to be furnished. What do you need to in order for you? This is actually what we when we're talking about furnishing, we can talk about a house. You can build a house, but you need furniture in within. And then a warrior, in order for them to actually go to battle, they needed to be furnished. It means that they were given armor and all those things. You need to be furnished by the fear, with the fear of God, in order to do everything that actually you need. In fact, we were talking about what are the tailwinds that are actually going to assure you flying and getting to the destination. Well, the tailwinds is actually the fear of God. So the fear of God propels and it drives, it motivates and it fuels you and I if we want to be the blessed, the blessed man or the blessed woman. Right. And so when you look at Psalm 128 verse 1 here, what we see very clear is that the fear of the Lord is the basis for enjoying God's blessings. It's the basis. And so it says, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord? How happy is everyone who walks in his ways? So in this verse, what we see is this. That God's blessing rests on those that are faithful and devoted, that are devoted to Him. That's actually what's meant with happy there. That word, what it does is that it conveys a life of being blessed. Its basic meaning is joy. This is not just like you're happy at one point. This is sustained joy. This is like joy that sustains you and keeps on going. And it describes the what I would say, the bliss of knowing that you are right with God. The bliss of knowing that you are right with God and that everything that you have and all the blessings that you have, your life, your breath, your moving and having your being is coming from God and you are right with God, which is what Jesus came to do, to make us right with God, to pay the price we could not pay. And being right with God puts us at that posture where we can now be able to enjoy God's blessings, even in the midst of suffering as well. Because we know that He is still our God and He is around us. And so this is actually the joy that is unaffected even in the midst of chaos. This is a joy that is unaffected in the midst of, like, at the verge of losing everything, in the midst of trials and all that. That's actually what it is. It says you are blessed in this way. But what is it that locks that blessing down? It is actually, you see, it's the fear of the Lord. It flows from the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? And when you start looking, our society today uses the word fear in a negative way. There's what we call healthy fear. For example, you know that when you stand on the cliff of something and you're scared to jump because you know that actually you'll fall and you will break all your legs. And then from there onwards, it's going to be crazy, right? That's a healthy fear. So there is a healthy fear in within us. But here what the fear is actually like, that to fearing God, it's not a fear of being afraid of God, but it's a fear of reverencing God. Right? So there's a couple of aspects that you have to look at when you look at this word fear. Three aspects. It's terror, respect, and worship. And says, so terror and worship are polar opposites, and there is a healthy terror that you, when you're before God, that you know that you're not in front of your body. You're not in front of your homeboy. You're not in front of your friend, even though he says he is our friend. So terror is a shrinking back from an object, while worship is an attraction to that object. There is a way in which, like, terror is this characteristic of complete anxiety, right? And then this is actually like acknowledging that God is this sovereign judge of the earth, that he is great and he is mighty, that you and I have no even like any merit whatsoever to even access his presence because of who he is. And then let's just kind of at least maybe just like even relish the moment of when we look at creation, the God of the universe who made the sun, and you and I can't even get closer to the sun. What more the God of who made the sun? Right, one more the God. And then so that's actually like, it's like the terror that I think about. It's like living, like I have friends that live right close to like where they, like right close where they see these tanks, like in the army barracks, close to the army, where they see these war machines passing through, where they see fighter jets taking off. And they say that the ground even shakes when this thing is taking off. It just gives you this terror that's there. Or go to Indy 500 and sit close by and just hear the engines that they're blowing. It gives you this sense of terror that you are not just on normal ground, right? And so that's actually like this terror comes in within us when we see that this is a God who is in a whole other level than us. And but yet at the same time, there is this attraction to the object because there's the attraction to him because we were made for him. We were made by him. He calls us by name. He loves us. And then so therefore, we then respond to him in worship. And in fact, this all that I've described here, Isaiah chapter 6 actually talks about that. When Isaiah is before God, all of a sudden he says, "Woe is me," and he shrinks back because he recognizes he's before the majesty of God. But at the same time, then he worships God as well. So when you look in the, especially in the book of Proverbs, the fear of God is there everywhere. And in fact, I don't know if you've read the book of Proverbs. It starts with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in chapter 1, verse 7. And says, fools despise wisdom and discipline. And then it actually ends with right in the home, describing actually like this home. It ends in the home and it says, charm is deceitful, is deceptive, and the beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. So the whole book is all about the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord, if you and I are going to build homes that like are following the blueprint of God, the fear of the Lord needs to be our foundation. And in fact, when you now just begin to traverse the whole book of Proverbs, and if you want to hear more about this, in our midweek devotions every Wednesday, you can watch. We're going through the book of Proverbs very slowly. And if you want to just get to hear more and more about this, please make sure that like you go on our YouTube page and listen to that. But when you look at the whole book of Proverbs, it says the fear of God is to know God. Unless you reverence him the way he is meant to be reverenced, you don't know him. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So you and I, maybe we find ourselves even at this moment and where there's evil that maybe has gotten grip over our lives. It says that the fuel to how you get away from that is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord yields confidence. If you and I need confidence in life and knowing that like God takes care of you, it says that you need to fear God more. You need to have multiple exposures to who he is and what he has done. Therefore, getting to know whose you are, then all of a sudden confidence in the midst of storms of your life, you're going to see all that in him. The fear of the Lord yields humility. Especially when you and I, what we really struggle with the most. Yesterday I was finishing reading Ezekiel, and I was just like, as I was reading in the chapter 20, when you're getting to in the chapter 20 is there, you heard God say, "I am the Lord as long as I live." And I was like, that's probably the most dangerous phrase there. As long as I live. And he says this, and he goes against the pride of all these kings in Babylon, in Egypt, and all this. And he says, as long as I live, I'm going to bring you down because your pride has taken you up so high. And if you want to know how then to cure pride, which is our greatest enemy, is to fear God, right? To fear God. And to fear the Lord yields contentment, right? Yields contentment. All these things are found in the book of Proverbs. To fear the Lord, it involves us. And this is actually, if you're asking, what is this fear? It involves trusting in God rather than relying on our own wisdom. Proverbs 3:5. It leads to actually avoiding all evil, right? And then it prolongs our lives and gives us security in life, and it leads to this happy life. And so when you're looking here it says, how happy is everyone? And once again, if you can underline somewhere, just circle that word, everyone. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord? And it just says that you and I can get in on that. Everyone, you and I are not exempt. We can now be, as long as we now fear the Lord. This reverential fear, right? It is demonstrated not only just in worship, but what we see in that second part of the verse is that fear, the fear of the Lord, it produces obedience. The fear of the Lord is not complete unless actually then it is actually like now on the ground zero of our lives. And on the highs and lows of our lives on a daily basis in whatever activity that we do. And he says, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And that word walks, it actually just, it's a word that actually is mortifying, because this is a poetry. It's showing you like that this is for everyone, but everyone who walks, who demonstrates this, who obeys this, it signifies all activities of our lives. This is what I was talking about Psalm 127, that in our building, in our protecting, in our providing, and also in our child rearing, right, in everything that we do, what we need to do is to secure the fear of the Lord. And everything then begins to actually, then we begin, even when things are going crazy in our families, the fear of the Lord, knowing this, you know, the fear of the Lord fuels even our prayer lives. Like our prayer lives, when things have gone wrong. So what if actually like what you feel like you've built has actually gone down to like, and you feel like it's being threatened? What if you feel like what you've been trying to protect now is now it's giving you so much anxiety? What if all your labors, what if raising your kids, now like you've raised them up and then all of a sudden they've departed and all that? The fear of the Lord takes and secures all that. You know why? Because you now know that my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And what that means is that as long as you keep God in view and he has not said it is done with your children, with whatever seems out of control, and he has not said it is done, it means our sovereign ruler still has something to say about that. But you see how the fear of the Lord, as long as you keep God where he is and you revere him and you see him, and then in that way, then all of a sudden the storms of life do not have that final say in our lives. Amen? That's actually what it means, that in who walks in his ways, right? Walking in his ways here, it just means that living in harmony with the standard of God. This is where scripture comes in, where God has given us the rule of life. Scripture is actually called the rule of life, where we find, how then do we live? How do we respond to calamity and suffering and all those things that we are going through? And in fact, in a lot of passages, for example, Leviticus 19:14 and 25:17 and 1 Kings 17:34, the fear of God is almost like viewed synonymously, like almost like equally with actually obeying him as well. Right? So the fear of the Lord, it's like the fear of the Lord is like that when we see an engine that's running, like it's not complete unless we see the wheels turning, right? The engine can run all you can, but if the power is not getting to the wheels so that the wheels can take you from Williamsport to here, then still something is wrong with that. So what really that simply says is this: the fear of the Lord, like the fear of the Lord, is not fully complete, right? It means reverential awe and worshiping the Lord is not complete unless it's expressed in our lifestyles. And then it begins to change how then we relate with one another. And we're going to see that in the next couple of weeks because we're going to be starting to bring it out. When you look at Psalm 128, and we're going to start looking at like, what does it look like to be a man who fears the Lord, right? To be a husband who fears the Lord. What does it look like to be a wife who fears the Lord? What does it look like to raise children who fear the Lord? And what does it look like to actually now, if you're an empty nester, to live a life that fears the Lord? What does it look like to embrace seasons of singleness and with the fear of the Lord as well? That's what we're looking at in the next couple of weeks. Because this scripture said, everyone who fears the Lord. And in fact, when you go to the midwives, where the king, where Pharaoh says to the midwives to kill all the children, it says that they feared the Lord. And what actually, like, they had reverential awe of God, and that they disobeyed actually the king, right? And in fact, that's actually what we get to see there. It's what we call active fear. That like the fear of the Lord needs to become active in our lives for it to actually finally lead us to actually what? That life that we are really truly longing for. What we are truly longing for. Right? So like actually at least Sam Storms, a theologian, kind of walks us into what does fearing the Lord look like in our lives. He first defines it as in like the fear of God means to live in reverential awe of who he is, of his majesty, his holiness, his transcendence, his power, and his purity. Right? And that's actually like, first of all, getting to know who he is and getting to know how separate we are from him. One of the scariest verses I've ever read is found in Hebrews chapter 12, 29. It says, our God is a consuming fire. Like it says that like, our God is a consuming fire. But yet at the same time, this is where grace now has to now become, like this is, I always say this, grace needs to stay amazing because the day grace stops being amazing to you, you have lost sight you've lost sight on who it came from, right? So to fear the Lord, Sam Storm says this also, to fear the Lord means always live conscious of his all-pervasive presence, right? Where can I go away from your presence? Like, Lord, you know me. You know when I sit. You know when I lay down. You know, even if I lay my bed in hell itself, you, even there, you are there. He has this, he is omnipresent. And to know that even in the midst of, like, and just really to see that, and where the fear of the Lord is not only just a Sunday thing, where we sing about him, what Jesus really wants, what the Lord wants is not just to have a Sunday relationship with you and I. You know that, right? The fear of the Lord now has to actually meet you right where you are, when you're tempted to yell at your kids, right? When you're tempted to lash back at your wife, when you're tempted, whatever it is, in all of life, That's what really this is all. And being aware of the fact that, like, God is also here as well. That's what like Matthew Henry says, where you have set up a tent, make sure there is the altar of God there. So the altar of God, just knowing that the altar of God is there even in our work. Like, then we actually now, because we fear God, then we're faithful there as well. Right? To fear God means always to live conscious of our absolute dependence of Him. Dependence on Him for every single step. Where at the end of the day, it's no longer just, and I love how I depend on God in the morning. But recently, I've just been convicted more and more on how, like, I don't depend on Him as much at 12 o'clock or at 2 o'clock when my energy is low and all of a sudden I'm irritated by everything else that's going on. Is there a way at least I could sneak away, right? I could sneak away, and one of the books that I've really just been enjoying is a book called Common Rule, where he just talks about how we depend on God, and he says that, like, the author there says that he sets up a time, an alarm during lunch to actually go and be, at least just like go and kneel down somewhere and then say, God, this is what we prayed for, this is how the day is going. Could you please help me? More grace towards me. And living in dependence of Him. Living in dependence of Him. I love, at least, like, if you've never read this biography, Susanna Wesley, who happened to have 19 children. At least, like, we are celebrating the two of them, that John Wesley and Charles Wesley, they turned the world upside down. And just, like, God used them mightily. But in her dependence of the Lord was when she had 19 children, they say that she would actually pick up an apron and then close her face in the middle of the kitchen. And all her kids knew she was praying at that point because she was overwhelmed. Like, some of us cannot even imagine. You're like, I've got 6 children. What else? Like, you know, 19. But then for her dependence of the Lord, and then John Wesley just had to be reminded of that's what it looked like to depend on the Lord in the midst of the day as well. That's what it means to fear God. To fear God means to always, you know, to live conscious of our complete responsibility and accountability to Him. Knowing that everything that we are doing, everything, we're going to be accountable to Him. Of our time, our talents, and our treasures, and all the activities of life, right? To fear of the Lord means to always to live fearful of offending Him. And I love this because, like, at the end of the day, when we're talking about offending Him here, this is not a fear that is coming out of, like, you're fearful of the fact that He won't accept you. Our acceptance is already there at the cross, right? We're accepted, but yet there is a way in which you can be a child of God, and but yet not enjoying the full rays of communion with Him. Because of actually maybe, like, what Scripture would say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Like, where at the end of the day, it's like your days are cloudy because you're living in disobedience but expecting to enjoy the full rays of communion with Him. But you have taken yourself, and instead of actually enjoying Him, you've taken yourself and you've locked yourself in the basement of the house. Yes, you are in there. You've locked and you are enjoying your sin. But yet God is called you to come and enjoy him forever, right? To fear God is to live in obedience to His revealed will. It's like every single day, it's actually to go into the Scripture and say, God, what does it look like for me to posture myself and to obey You and according to Your word, Your revealed will in Your word and in Your Son? And here what we see in verse 2 is that the fear of the Lord gives purpose to all of our labors. It gives purpose. Look at this. You will surely eat what your hands have worked for. You will be happy, and it'll go well with you. But what I want to say here is that this doesn't mean that you won't face lives without trials. But it's actually saying also the fact that, like, do you know the peace that comes with knowing that in the midst of trials, that God is not angry with you? There's a peace that comes with that, of knowing that the God of the universe, who made all this beauty that surrounds us, is also promised to actually adopt you through the work of his Son, and he will leverage all his sovereignty and his power, that even in the midst of the trials, nothing will separate you from his love, that you still have an incredibly bright future in Jesus, even in the midst of what looks like ground zero in your life. Do you know the peace that comes with that? That's what it says. All will be well with you. It is well with my soul. That's what the great hymn writer, he wrote that even in the midst of actually losing his children when they had all drowned at sea. But still saying, it is well with my soul. But knowing, because you know that I am in the right with God through the work of his Son. And that's what the promise here. The focus here is that it's when he's saying eat here that and labor, it's actually talking about that you will be satisfied in all your labors. You will be satisfied. And he's talking about the fact that, like, you will receive what is good because you are tethered and you're locked in the one who works everything together for the good for those that love him. Right? And so when you begin to look here, I love what at least John Bevere says in his book. He's written extensively on the fear of the Lord. And I had to go back to dig this quote on his recent book called The Awe of God. He says, the fear of God swallows up all destructive fears. The fear of God is the beginning of everything good. It swallows up everything. And this is what Oswald Chambers says, that fear God. And if you fear God, then you've got nothing else to fear after that. If you fear God, it means that, like, listen, the storms of life will be beating. If you fear God and you've built your house on that rock, the storms of life will come. The wind and all that stuff will be blowing on all that. But you will still find yourself saying, I am not alone. He is with me. He leads me. He guides me. He will carry me through this. He is with me. He will never leave you, nor forsake me. I will be just fine. You see why the fear of the Lord is important so in all this? And that's actually why now the writer of Solomon, who is also the writer of Ecclesiastes, he says this, when all has been heard in Ecclesiastes 12:13, if you read Ecclesiastes, it's a roller coaster of emotions. Like he is going everywhere. He is actually the pinnacle of Jeremiah 2:13, where God says, be appalled, ye heavens, be appalled. Come, look at this. And he's looking and he says, be appalled. Drop your jaw because my people have forsaken what? Me, the fountain of living water, and they are digging cisterns that cannot hold water. They're drinking muddy waters. That's what God is saying. And he says, that's the most shocking thing to God. And Ecclesiastes is going to show you what it looks like to just try to drink from every puddle possible. To drink as much salty water and wonder why you're still thirsty at the end of the day. At the end of it all, he says, all is vanity. It's useless. After money and all the things that he could do, buildings and parties and all that stuff, he says, when all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this. This is a man who owned it all. This is a man who had it all. The fear God and keep his commands, because this is for all humanity. And God took it and he put it in the Bible for all of us to read today. So that we would stop in the red race of whatever it is that you think is going to give you meaning, satisfaction, and significance, or whatever it is, to stop you in those tracks and say that what you need more than anything is a clear view of who God is and what he has done and what he has for you. And if you can see that clearly, then you will not go anywhere else. You will start begging him, like that hymn says, let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. You will go and you will go to Home Depot or Lowe's and you will go get the strongest chain and the strongest, and you will say, Jesus, take this one. Lock me in. I just want to be locked in close to you, because what? Because you are the pinnacle of all goodness. Because all I need is you. And Proverbs 1:7 says it very well. The fear of the Lord. Listen to this. It's the beginning of knowledge, of wisdom. Right? Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Just the fear is just the beginning. Like it says that, like, if you want to actually build your house in God's blueprint, have a clear view of God. The question that you have to be asking yourself every single morning is that, have I had a clear view of God? Because if I've had a clear view of God, right? This is what Catherine von Bora, the Martin Luther's wife, used to do. She would go and literally wear these bereaved garments, and she would wear all black and walk around. When Martin Luther was actually looking like he was depressed and he was anxiety was killing him and all that, and he'd be shook when he would see his wife passing with mourner's garments on him. And he'd be like, what are you doing, crazy woman? And then she'd be like, well, because you're acting like God is dead, so we might as well just start the mourning process. Like, and then Martin Luther would be like, oh, okay. That's right. That's why he wrote the hymn, oh, Almighty Fortress is our God. So on Psalm 46, right? Get a clear view of God. And not only that, and then respond to him clearly, like in the right way. That's what the fear of the Lord is, right? He is the origin of wisdom, meaning that he is the beginning. Like, fearing God is actually what launches you into this blessed life that he calls us to. And you need it. You need the fear of the Lord. You need it to acquire knowledge. You need it to turn away from evil. You need it for humility. You need it to be cautioned. You need it to handle even riches and honor. And you need it for everything that you need. And in fact, this is what even Proverbs actually helps us with. It says that the fear of the Lord is actually way better than any wealth, health, and riches you could ever have. Because once you have that, you've got everything. Right? Once you have that, you've got everything. But let's just kind of maybe just like, let me end with kind of just giving you the hope that you and I have this morning. And you say, but I don't have that fear of the Lord. If you don't have that, like and this is something that like all of us are confronted with, but I don't have it. I want to share with you today the good news that Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who came and died for us and lived the life that we couldn't live, one of the things that we couldn't do even up to today, because in our worst day, the fear of the Lord gets out of the room, right? And then all of a sudden, the fear of man takes over, the fear of whatever it is that comes in takes over on our worst day. So you and I, we cannot do it apart from the help of Jesus. Amen? And let me kind of show you what Jesus says. What actually Isaiah 11, talking about Jesus, he says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Right? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, a Spirit of counsel and strength, and a Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And what I love about that is the fact that in Jesus, we have. So when you actually are looking at Jesus being baptized, and he's coming out of that water, and the Spirit of God descending on him, it's also the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And you wonder, why is it that he was able to leave the life we couldn't leave? It's because for Jesus, the fear of the Lord was his great priority. The fear of the Lord was his great priority. He pleased God in each and every single way. And Christ is the wisdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, meaning that to fear the Lord now, we need to embrace Christ. And not only that, that this is actually like where we see Jesus. He has all the wisdom that we need. I love what Ray Orland says. He says, let us not patronize Jesus Christ as a nice man who gives religious fuzzies while we turn to experts, whoever they are. Listen to this. While we turn to experts, whoever they are, to find wisdom and all that stuff. And then he says this, while we turn to the seriously qualified people for the challenges of real life. And you and I are guilty of that. Jesus is the wisest man who's ever lived. No one outthought him. No one ever surprised him. No one ever cornered him in a debate. He was always out ahead of everyone, both his friends and his enemies. Jesus Christ is the best counselor for all people in all seasons of life. Amen? Like, no one ever outthought him. So, and now, like, can you just believe this? This is actually the Jesus who says, I am with you till the ends of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, do not worry about what you eat and drink and all that. Seek my kingdom first. Just seek me first, and all those things will be added to you. Right, and he's saying that, like, this is what we do. We are so quick to ditch Jesus and run towards experts and all those other things. But all those, that sinking sand, all those are muddy waters. This morning, the call for you and me is to run to Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. Amen? Amen. Right, he has made peace for you and I, between us and God. Right, so the fear of the Lord, I'm going to run through this. And in the New Testament, it's so simple. It's so helpful. The fear of the Lord fuels, instead of the fear of man, fuels how we share our faith. How we actually like share our faith. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, since we know the fear of the Lord, right, if you struggle sharing your faith and living for Jesus and living credible life for Jesus in front of your friends, your families, your relatives, and it, actually this scripture says the fear of the Lord is the answer to that. It says that since we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people. What we are is plain to God, and I hope also it is plain to other to your consciences. It fuels holiness. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:1. So then, dear friends, since we have all these promises, we keep God in clear view and what he has done in Jesus, let us also cleanse ourselves from every impurity of the flesh and spirit, bringing holiness to the completion in the fear of the Lord. It says the fear of the Lord is actually what fuels you towards the living that life that God pleases, right? 1 Peter 1:17 says, if you appeal to the Father who judges impartially according to each one's work, you are to conduct yourselves in reverence during your time living as strangers. It says, conduct yourself in reverence in the fear of the Lord as you conduct yourself all around, as you live as strangers here on earth, knowing your home is with him. 1 Peter 2:17 says this, it fuels community. As a church, it fuels a community in this way. Honor everyone, right? Love brothers and sisters. One of the reasons why sometimes we do not honor one another and love one another. Look at that. Fear God. Honor the emperor. It puts us right there. Say, it can be so easy for us now to belittle one another, belittle the community around us, belittle even authorities. And our main issue there is not even, can you see the issue there? It says the heart of the matter is actually what? Fear who? God. Live in reverence of Him. Right? I want to end with this. It fuels even healthy marriages. And that's what we're going to be camping in the next couple of weeks. Every single time Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, 31 is used, it's used apart from verse 21. But verse 21 is actually the linchpin of everything. It's what's pivotal there. They're like, hey, husbands, if you're struggling loving your wives as Christ loved the church, wives, if you're struggling submitting to your husbands, and then not only that, like, and children, if you're struggling, and parents, if you're struggling to actually lead your children in the instruction of the Lord, and if you're struggling even at work, because it's going to even go down there and talk about work relationships. In the book of Ephesians, it's talking about when God has brought the Spirit of God, and He has brought the Spirit of God, and now He's bearing the fruit of the Spirit through you. And what does it look like after that, when God has come? It says, do not be drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. And then after that, He begins to show us what it looks like. It becomes a life of actually submitting to one another. Look at that. In the fear of Christ. I want to submit to you that probably if we can nail down what the fear of Christ is, it will nail down. We have finally found the blueprints of every home for everything that's underneath there. To walk honorably, to walk honorable as husbands and wives, as parents, not provoking our children to anger, but leading them in the admonition of the Lord, or even work relationships there, where actually even Paul says that, like, hey, if you're working, this is what it needs to look like. But also, if you are the manager, this is what it needs to look like. And all of it in there is swallowed up underneath that verse 20 to 21, right? So the motive, submitting, which is an idea of meekness, gentleness, humility towards one another, right? And the motive is the reverence for Christ here, and in regards to His will, His glory, because Christ, He is the one in whom we're responsible to Him. And at the end of it all, it is not to anyone else around us. It is to Christ. He is the one that we're going to be bowing to. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is what? That He is Lord. But the beauty of this scripture is also the fact that Christ doesn't call us to do something that He doesn't empower us to do. And what He does is that He comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. He pours that fear inside our lives, living in reverence of Him. And in that way, then, we're able to build alongside with God. Amen? So this morning, let's run to Him. Let's examine our lives. Let's begin to examine our lives before we even take communion. Let's examine our lives. And some of us this morning, probably you're going to be recognizing, man, there's an area of my life where the fear of the Lord has not been the main thing there. And this morning, let's ask the Spirit to restore the fear of the Lord in our hearts, in our lives, so that now we can now begin to actually enjoy all that God has for us because we're anchored in Him in that way. Pray with me. Father, we come before You. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for the fact that, Lord, You have called us through Your word, God. And Lord, this scripture says, blessed are they that fear, that is everyone who fears the Lord. And everyone in here, Lord, we want the blessing that comes with that. Thank You that You've made it accessible in Jesus, that we can be right with You in Jesus. But then at the same time, that Lord, You now usher us towards the life You call us to live. So this morning, I ask you that you would meet us where we are. But that, Lord, the same way Romans 5 says, would you pour your love inside us? Would you pour your fear inside of us? So that, Lord, it becomes a priority to see you, clearly every single day of our lives. To see you enthroned as the King of Kings of our lives and to worship you rightly. And at the same time, let that affect even our households. So, Lord, we give you everything that we have. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.